What's up? What's happening, Biscuit Babies? It's me, your host, William Bartram. Got a new episode featuring Kevin Harvey. Before we get into that, let's get into some Cleveland Kraut. Let's get into the pouch. The always fresh, never duplicated Cleveland Kraut. It is my favorite food. It's naturally fermented. It's got the probiotics that you desire and the natural ingredients that you want. I love Cleveland Kraut. Go get a pouch now wherever you get your groceries. Head over to War Road. Check out War Road. They got right now a special. I think it's buy a shirt, get a hat for half off. It's a good deal. You'll look good, feel good. Hairless Ape Conspiracies. My dudes over there. Love those guys. They got new hoodies out. They got some of the best shirts out. They got patches. They got stickers. They've got great graphics. I love Hairless Ape Conspiracies. Head over to hairlessapeinc.com. Use the promo code BISCUIT10 at checkout and save yourself 10% off. You're welcome. And we are brought to you by parkersplatoon.org. That's the nonprofit organization started by Scott Parker, Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker, and his family to help one veteran at a time. Go there, see how you can help. They've got all kinds of events at all different kinds of times. I know they have a Vimeo set up where you can donate some money. Every dollar counts. So again, head over to parkersplatoon.org where they are set out to help specifically combat wounded veterans. So do your part. Go help somebody out. And as always, we are brought to you by hockeyfights.com. That's hockeyfights.com where you go to watch hockey fights. Sorry for running through the ads there so quickly, but I'm just very excited to get into this interview with Kevin Harvey. He fought in the AHL. He's fought in the ECHL. He's fought all over the world. One hell of a guy. One hell of a hockey player. And now he's back in his hometown and outside of Hamilton, and he's playing Canadian hockey again, trying to win that Allen Cup. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview as much as I did. Everybody, Kevin Harvey.
Now Probert got the right hand. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the Biscuit. It's the Biscuit.
Damn it! Set goal regulations size of one!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck to you, buddy.
All right, Biscuit Babies. Today I'm joined by former Calgary draft pick, a collector of pins, a Slovakian Extriga Liga. I can't ever say that word, but he's a champion of that league, a world traveler, and a father, Kevin Harvey. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, right. Just cruising to practice here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see the boys for the week.
And you're playing in Dundas?
Dundas, Ontario. It's just a little suburb of Hamilton.
And it's like a senior league then?
Yeah, senior AAA. They got four teams. They used to have nine, but a lot of the organizations fold it. So Hamilton, Dundas, Brantford, and Whitby.
Well, it's got to feel good to be back home in Hamilton, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not – I liked Australia, but I mean, home's home, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
On the farm, and so like I said, all my buddies are still working and doing the things they did when we were younger. So you move away for hockey, and you know every summer you wait to get back, but you're home for 3 months and you can't wait to leave again. So I mean, it's good to see family and stuff like that.
So did you ended up in Australia to go play hockey, right?
Yeah, I played for a Stop Concussions charity there, and I met my wife over there, and when I retired, I moved over there.
And how did you like play? How's the hockey scene over there? I have really zero idea about Australian hockey.
Yeah, nothing but good things to say about the organization I played with, the Sydney Ice Ducks. in Australia. There was Jason Juba, who's a Canadian guy out of, I think, Saskatchewan somewhere. He ran the team as the manager, and he treated us imports like gold. I mean, from the trainers to the Aussie players all the way down, it was, I had the best time ever. I got to see the whole country, you know, and play the game I love.
I got to imagine just the stereotypical Aussie, you'd be like, the fans have to be pretty wild, I would assume.
Yeah, they get on the piss and, you know, they had a group that stood behind the net, like, group, and they were heckling the other team all the time, so.
And I would assume you had to be a fan favorite, you know, being the way you play.
Yeah, but you get suspended over there for fighting.
Oh, do you?
Kind of like here in Senior A, you know, if you play the game the right way and punish guys, you know, I know right now it's only regular season, but there's been a few times where, you know, I've actually played, like, real hockey and you get a penalty, like the ref just said, I had to call it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So if you're in the league you're in now, if you end up getting a fight, would you get kicked out of the league, you think?
You get kicked out of the game instantly. But if it's after the 10-minute mark in the third, you get a game suspension.
Damn.
Yeah, so, I mean, which is good. To be honest with you, like, you kind of lose track of it when you're playing the game, right? Like, you get out in the moment of fighting. Like, are you like Syracuse? When I played in Syracuse, it was fucking wild. I mean,
dude.
Yeah, you know, like, we had guys, me and Johnny, and then Tom Sestito, and it was to the point where you just got caught up in it. We were, you know, living a rock star life in Syracuse there. It was a good town to play in, and, you know, I think my first year in Syracuse, I had 36 fights in 52 games or something like that.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, I mean, to where, like, I dreaded tying my skates up, but I waited for that, you know, that night just to go again, you know. And, you know, like, when you retire, I think hockey, you know, it takes you to so many places. You see so many good things, and, like, I would never take the life for granted.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, man, you got to travel the world and play hockey. That's absolutely a beautiful thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, and, you know, to play with the Brotherhood, like, the guys that I met, and go to war every night with teammates that, you know, there's guys in the room that you may not like, but at the end of the day, once you step on that ice, they were, you know, they were my brothers. And I was grateful enough to have the opportunity to protect some good.
Well, you know, we were just talking about Syracuse, Kevin, and that squad there, I mean, pound for pound, guy for guy, it might have been the toughest squad of all time. You know, you mentioned you, John Morassi, Tom Sacito, I mean, Aaron Rome, Picard. You guys were nasty, man.
Yeah, we were pretty mean. Like you said, top to bottom, we had guys like Alexander Picard that could score goals and also fight, too, which added that element to our team even more.
Right.
Yeah, warm-ups were pretty fun, I'll tell you. I watched Johnny shoot a puck one time we were playing Toronto. Oh, he was in the other corner, we were doing the horseshoe. And I watched Johnny go up, and he's skating around in the neutral zone, and he's fired a puck down in Toronto's end and hit Bates Bataga right in the side of the head as he was coming around the net, dropped him right in the spot. And then Johnny weaseled his way back in the line and never got caught for it.
What a legend, yeah?
Yeah, it was, I see the puck flying through the air, and I was like, that's going to hit someone. Hit Bates, you ate in the side of the head, and I end up playing with Bates. He come over and played with us in Syracuse there, too, so.
Did John ever say anything to him when he came over?
Yeah, I hung around with Bates a bunch, so I ended up telling him. He wasn't mad, like I said, it happens, right? Our warm-ups in the American League were fun. I mean, got pretty ruthless sometime there where Yabo and Johnny fought in warm-up that time. That was wild.
Oh, man. Those two, what, maybe the most two intimidating guys that ever lace them up?
Oh, Johnny's probably one of the nicest. Yeah, well, like on the ice, yeah, just looking at him. But
yeah.
On the ice, Johnny's one of the nicest guys going. Like, nothing but respect for Johnny.
Yeah, he was just on the Fourth Line Voice podcast, and it was just awesome to hear him talk, man. He seems like a really nice guy, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, and to hold it together the way he did his whole career with the pressure that he was under every night. Like, people don't understand when you fight every night for a living, it doesn't end at the rink. You go home, now you got YouTube and all that that stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, I spent some nights worried about a fight. You're like, you know, 2:33 in the morning watching a guy fight, just nonstop trying to find ways to beat him.
So would you do that? You would kind of study up on the guy you're getting ready to play?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially once YouTube become like, you know what I mean? At the beginning of my career, I wasn't there, but later in my career, if I knew there was a guy that was going around beating people up, I'd like to watch him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, like boxers watch it, I figure why not, right?
It only makes sense, but man, it adds to just so much more stress to an already stressful job.
Yeah, no, I mean, you gotta be a different breed to do what, you know, we do, and live in a dying breed now, but, you know, I play with some of the toughest, and to watch guys hold themselves together every night, knowing that they're gonna go put skates on and turn to another human and go, you wanna go? And then punch each other in the face.
Like, yeah, for real, and then do it, you know, a couple days later, maybe even the next day.
Oh, the next night, like, I'm 3-3, you have 3 fights in the weekend, sometimes 2 in a game. Oh, I remember we played Hamilton, I broke my nose in the first fight against Dave Gagne's son, or no, Kendall McCardo, and then I fought Dave Gagne, like, two shifts after I got out of the box with a broken nose.
Whoa. How does that feel to get punched with a broken nose, man?
I don't know, man. Once you start flowing, you know, the next morning, I'll tell you, sometimes you roll out of bed, right? Like, I remember going to the rink and saying to my teammates, I don't know if I can play, you know, because I'm just so sore, your arms from grabbing on, you know what I mean? You hang on. Like, I remember going to the box and your forearms would be seizing up from hanging on.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But then it's like, if you don't play, then, you know, at that point back then, you might.
In the lineup.
Yeah, you might lose your job.
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, like, the only 2 comfortable years I had in hockey was when I had contract in Syracuse for the 2 years. And I knew I was going back the next year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Every summer was, you know, you go to put your work boots on and go to work, and your motivation for the summer is the fact that that day at the end of the summer, you get that contract signed, right?
Man, that's crazy. That's the fascinating thing I love about, you know, an enforcer or even just hockey in general is...
Minor, yeah, any guy that plays minor pro, you know what I mean? Like, you come home every summer, you know, I worked for a buddy of mine, and I just worked out and prepared to come back the next year. Found a contract at an agent, they would find me a job, you know?
And you grew up on a farm in Hamilton?
Yeah, I grew up on a farm in a small town called Sheffield there, it's a suburb of Hamilton.
So, like, Youngblood style, were you out there, like, punching bay hails or hay bales?
Yeah, I mean, we always did hay. We have beef cattle, so, I mean, you know, I was throwing hay in the loft or putting on the elevator up into the loft or on the back of the wagon in the field, driving the truck when I was probably, like, 6. picking rocks. Put the tractor in first gear and walk in front of it. That way you know you got enough time to rock up. Buddy of mine broke his neck.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, buddy of mine threw it in second gear and didn't tell anybody. So he bent over to pick up a rock, and it was coming faster than it was before. And ran over, broke his neck.
I was, I used to bale hay for my uncle, and 2 funny stories. The first one, he came and picked my 2 brothers and us up. And I was like, oh, we're going out to the farm for summer day. So I have shorts on, and I bale hay for the first time with shorts on. I'll never did that again.
Yeah, you'd be itching, your legs would be bleeding probably too.
Oh, yeah, buddy. And then the next, I remember my first time getting to drive the tractor. I don't remember how old I was, but I went to get off and I grabbed the exhaust with my hand and burnt
your hand, yeah.
Oh, dude. It was, you know, learning on the fly, man, because those guys, those old farmer guys were just like, hey, let's go. Get on. Let's get it going.
Can you drive this? Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. Well, you didn't want to say no. You didn't want to be like, no, I can't.
That's how I learned to do what I did for work, you know, jumping an escalator. Can you drive the air? You know, when I was in Australia, when I retired on site, someone asked me, can you drive that? Yeah, okay, I'll give it a go.
Do they drive on the right side of the road in Australia?
Same as England.
Oh, they do, so it's backwards.
Yeah.
What's some other weird Australian shit that you experience?
Snakes.
Oh, dude.
Spiders. Yeah. With the Christmas tree at the wife's house in Australia, they had an eastern brown tree snake or eastern tree snake in the Christmas tree when they were taking it down.
Nope. Absolutely not.
It's not. Other than, like, I seen brown snakes on site over there when I was working. When I first moved over, you're like scared of everything. But by the end, I was in bushes, you know,
You just kind of become part of the land, yeah. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, you walk through a spider web and I don't even say anything. Nothing can kill you here.
So your wife is Australian?
Yeah.
Is everyone safe from all the fires and all that?
Yeah, it's about a half hour away. My brother-in-law lives in Coffs Harbour. It's pretty bad there. So, Foster area and all that up the East Coast coming out of Sydney there.
Jeez. I mean, it's too bad to hear what's going on over there, man.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy to think that fire that humans caused, I heard, they arrested people. So it's, people are dying, animals are dying.
Yeah, they said something crazy, like 75 million animals or something they've estimated already.
Yeah, that's a massive number.
It seems bizarre that there's even that many animals, but you're like... It is. It's going to be a testament to how strong Australians are, and because I can only imagine they'll bounce back. I mean, they have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they're getting a lot of help from good-hearted people too that are raising money.
Definitely. So,
yeah.
Now, when you went to Syracuse, was John already there? Did you know about him, or how did it? What was your first meeting of John Morassi?
I sat beside him in the room, so I couldn't get away from him. we had some characters, man. David Lifton, we called him the Mustard Man. He's an absolute legend.
What'd you call him the Mustard Man for?
He was always the guy outside the bar after when we walked out eating a big old sausage and mustard stains all over his shirt.
No, dude, that is hilarious.
Yeah, still really close with Lifty. I talked to him very often, so.
I've been a Blue Jackets fan since they've been a team. Did you ever get to go any training camps or development camps with them when you were in Syracuse?
Yeah, I went to two development camps, two main camps.
How was your experience with that organization?
Yeah, it was awesome. Guys like Rick Nash, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Nikita Filatov was the first rounder. Cam Atkinson was there.
Yeah. Yeah,
Smart. I played with Savvy.
Savvy's a beauty, man.
He's one of the nicest guys ever too. Just slow motion Savvy, I used to call him.
He does have that, you know, that he's just kind of, it looks like he's barely moving, but he's going.
Yeah, he just makes it work.
Were you in Syracuse for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? Was that after?
Which one's that?
Well, it would have been Jason McDonald. And a couple other guys got into it. I forget who it was against. And the one gentleman got his it ended up being a bench-clearing brawl.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing if you were there, you would remember what happened.
No, nothing happened like that. Was Sugar there, that
though? I know McDonald was, and...
Sugar? I think they called him. What was his name?
Let's see. It would have been... I think it was Baduk there, too.
Sugden? Brandon Sugden?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. He was there before me. He was tough, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Sungden was the one who ends up with his shirt off there.
Yeah, I know. I think I've seen. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Zeep played there the year before me, too. Canopy. Him and Johnny were wild that year, too. They had a good run that year in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. It was it's got to be fun to be on a team like that. And, you know, nobody could fuck with you guys. I mean, you were loaded with the tough dudes.
Yeah, I got beat up by some tough dudes. Guys that I thought weren't tough, and they were fucking underrated tough, man.
Who would be a guy like that comes to mind?
Tanner Glass, man. He could fucking pump me, man. Pump me. He couldn't do anything. He was just that strong, man.
Yeah, he was always underrated, in my opinion, when it came to that.
Too. Yeah, he's a big boy, too. What's this guy's name that plays in Ottawa? Smith? He used to play in Ottawa? He was tough. Played for Binghamton. Tim Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a killer. He broke my orbital bone.
Oh.
And I knew as soon as he hit me.
Oh, really? Is it more of a sound or a feeling?
You know, no, it was just like my face caved in. Oh. and then, like, I had, like, a dark blood in my mouth, but my nose was bleeding.
God, like black?
Yeah, like that real dark, almost purplish looking, dark purple kind of. It was gross, heavy. And then, the trainer come in, he's like, yeah, you broke your orbital bone. I was like, okay.
So
and did then you got to run around for 6 weeks with a cage on.
Oh, so you just played with the broken orbital with it and just played with the birdcage.
Yeah, and they told me I wasn't allowed to fight. And then my first game, I hit Peterson from Rochester, bundled him coming up the wall. And I had the cage on, he dropped his gloves, so I fought him. The trainer lost it on me. I got shit. I remember Tyler Wright chirped me too, and the coach, Ross Yates, they both were all over me.
Yeah, it would have probably been like 3 or 4 years ago now when Tanner Glass, I think he was with the Rangers, but he was on a tear that year, man. And he was just, I mean, proving people wrong. You know, you hear all that bullshit, I shouldn't be in the league and all this. And he was scoring goals and being one of the toughest dudes in the NHL at that time.
Yeah, he had a good haircut too, the little mullet there.
Oh, yeah.
Narrow mullet,
That's what my youngest son, he's working on his mullet right now.
Yeah.
Now, the word on the street is you got kicked out of your first game in Elmira?
Yeah, I actually think I did, for second shift.
Yeah, I think it was maybe it was definitely in the first period, right?
Yeah, I bundled the guy. I remember right on the wall. He was coming down the wall. Steve's brother. I think he played in Trenton. Maybe I think it was him. But I just bundled him.
It's got to be crazy, you know. You get to a new place to play, you fire up, and like, oh, I'm kicked out in the first period, second shift.
Yeah, I remember that. That's funny now that you bring it up.
Well, I've had one of your old linemates on, Rob Bellamy, and he was just telling me a few stories. He was saying, you know, in his opinion, that like one of his best times, one of his favorite hockey memories of his life was playing that line you guys had in Elmira. He said he just couldn't believe how dominant you guys were. I think it was you, Bellamy, and Jordan. Was it Protus?
No, Petrus. Yeah,
Petrus.
Yeah, no, we were good, and we were very effective. You know, one of those guys that through the middle, I always knew where Jordan was. And, Bells can skate as fast as anybody I know. So, and he just would crush guys when he dumped it in this corner. Mm-hmm. We worked well together. I had a great time that year. That year there, Elmira's not a great city, but the room was great, and we won every game pretty much. And, you know, we all stuck together, made a good little run there. It was a fun team to be on.
Now, something like that, does that line click automatically? Do you guys know when you're put together, like, oh, this is going to work, or is it something you kind of figure out?
I played with Petey right away. I got traded from Trenton to Elmira, and he was in the hotel room when I got there, and we went to the rink, and he was my center. And then I think Bells was playing on the line above us, and next thing you know, he came down on the right side, and it was us all year. You know, I'd get suspended a few times, and I'd come right back and go on the line, so...
What do you do when you get suspended? Do you go to the rink and still practice and everything, or are you barred from even doing that?
No, you practice. I just go bag skate in the morning, usually, if you're suspended, or maybe do a little workout, or pretend you're riding a bike or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and then you just go to the rink at, you know, 6 o'clock and sit in the press box.
Eat popcorn. What's the longest suspension you had in your career? Can you remember?
I got 14 games in like minor pee wee.
Oh damn!
They said I stepped on a guy, but I dropped. He had a hold of my leg, so I dropped my knee on his cage, and they gave me 14 games.
That's some like Happy Gilmore shit, you know? Try to take a skate off and stab a guy.
Yeah. Another time I was playing in Windsor, I didn't get suspended for this one. I probably should have got kicked out of the league. I didn't score in front of the net, and the goalie was laying in the crease. Instead of stepping over him, I stepped on his chest. Just like, I don't even know what was going through my head, but after I got in big shit for that one. Even my old man said something to me, he's like, you're an idiot.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was dumb. I've done a lot of stupid shit. I think I got 6 games my first year in, or my second year in New Mexico. I dumped the puck in, and the goalie from Rocky Mountain Rage, we were beating 10-0, slashed my line mate as he was going around the net in the face. So he come to the bench, and as he was standing at the door bleeding everywhere, I said, who did it? And he said, the goalie, and I just jumped the bench.
Oh, shit.
30 seconds left and started fighting the goalie.
Did you pull his mask off and everything?
No, I just... like bundled and skated as fast as I could and body checked them, and then everybody came at me. I think I fought another guy, and then I ended up fighting Scott Ray, which was my captain in Rapid City there.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, so I actually got fined for that one too. I think it was like $600.
Damn, that stinks. Yeah,
the team covered it though, I'm pretty sure.
Since you were sticking out for somebody.
Well, yeah, I didn't, like, I was 21 years old. I didn't even ask. I just jumped the bench.
did you hear anybody yelling, like, Kevin, no?
Oh, no, the bench is cleared, though, after that.
Oh, hell yeah.
And the boys in the room were, like, after the game, they loved it, so.
What's that? Is that a culture shock, you know, going from Ontario to New Mexico? Was it, like, where the fuck am I?
Loved it. It was the best place ever. Albuquerque golfed every day. like race home from the rink just to go golfing every day. We lived right on the course. I had some great roommates, Dave Casciola and Faulkner there. It was great.
So I bet your game got good if you're golfing every day.
Yeah, same with Rapid there. Rapid had a course we played all the time. I'm a hacker though. I got like the Charles Barkley swing.
Oh, I swear to God, my swing changes every time I swing.
Yeah, you put change in your left pocket, you're good. Put change in your right pocket, you're shit.
What got you, you know, started playing the way, you know, being that enforcer and, you know, you had over five seasons with 200 PIMs and, you know, that you talked about the one season with the 30-some fights and 51 games. Like, what kind of gave you that attitude and, you know, made you play that way?
Yeah, I was a bit of an agitator. I mean, you know, I played a hard game, hard nose game, so I was the type of guy that wasn't not going to answer the bell, you know, and I kind of got good at it. You know, I was started winning them, so that was just another element I brought to my game.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, too, is I think a lot of guys just kind of step into it naturally, like, you know, you're out on the ice, somebody runs somebody on your team, or somebody, you know, says, hey, let's go, and you're just not going to back down.
No, I just, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I think that's, you know, if someone questions you as a man, you're going to step up and go.
Now, did you guys have a pond or anything out there at the farm? You there?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you guys have a pond or anything out at the farm that you played at in the winter?
Yeah, my dad used to flood it every year for us, and, you know, he'd get home from work, and he was flooded the night before, so I got home from school. It was perfect. Yeah, it was great. I mean, I was... You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate. My brother's buddy worked at the local rink, so I got a lot of free ice time growing up, too.
And your brother had a pretty successful career, too.
Yeah, my brother played 12 years in the National Hockey League.
That's nothing to shake a stick at, is it?
No, that's, you know, and that's where you get a paycheck.
He had a great career as well. And he played on the same team you're playing with now, right?
Yeah, he played in the next year, yep.
And what was it like? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but did he wear the C for the World Junior Team? What's that to see, you know, to look and see your brother do that? Yeah, that's got to be pretty special.
95, yeah. I went to that one. I'll never forget that one. That was a good time.
Yeah, I would think that's, like, got to be, you know, really cool to be a younger brother and be like, yeah, that's my brother, man, captain for Team Canada.
I was pretty proud of my brother. He's, big role model in my life, and he's always there when I need him too, as a brother. So
is he living around the area too? Do you get to see him more now since you're home?
Yeah, but he's a scout for Vancouver Canucks now, so he's gone a lot. But I do spend time with him when he's home. He's pretty busy with his next chapter after hockey here. So.
Oh yeah. That scout thing, man, that fascinates me. I always wonder, and maybe you can answer this, like, if they scout a guy in particular and he pans out, do they get paid more for that?
I think there might be a bonus, to be honest with you. I don't really know how it works. Obviously, if you start pulling three or four strings out of the bag and, you know, you get a couple guys that go off on a run that you're picked, you're obviously going to climb the ladder in the organization somehow too, right?
Yeah. I'll stay up and, like, for whatever reason, my brain just wanders about that shit. Like, and I'll just be like, I wonder if a scout gets paid more. Like, and they're always on the road. Like, that job seems really intense to me.
No, it's just like being a player, though.
Because you're just traveling, watching hockey. It's like being a player without playing.
Yeah, pretty much. You get your game, meal money and stuff like that, and nice hotels.
Hell yeah, man. That's sweet. Now, you've played in a bunch of different hockey markets. Do you have a favorite, like, underground hockey city that, you know, you've been to and, like, you would recommend that somebody, you know, go check some games out in?
Yeah, Slovakia, Bratislava, what a city.
And that's Slovakia?
Yeah, it's Bratislava, it's the capital. I put the team out of there called HC Slovan Bratislava. We won the Slovak Cup there, so it was nice. But the Slovakian people are great. Good food. Lots of nice things to see. Vienna was nice and close. Coventry was fun. Coventry was a little rock star city. It was close to Birmingham, too. I had a British kid that played on my team, Matt Selby, that I hung out with every day, and he showed me a good time over there.
Well, those are your UK fans, man. They keep sending me messages. You got to get Kevin Harvey on. That. You made an impression on those people, man.
Yeah, Coventry was great. I was playing some good hockey when I played in Coventry too, fighting and scoring some goals and stuff. So
I think you get in a fight your first game there, and the announcers are like, "Oh, I'm a fan of this guy already." Like, it's pretty awesome to hear.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they're kind of a blue collar town too, so they appreciated a guy that was going to come in and stick up for their teammates.
Now, when you play in Bratislava and you guys win, do you leave and go back to Canada immediately, or do you stay and hang out for a little bit?
No, I stayed for 3 weeks. I traveled a bit, and I went to Budapest, Hungary, Prague.
Damn, dude. That's crazy.
A little downtime, you know, so it was nice.
Do they do parades and shit like we do here?
Yeah, we had a master plan. I actually have videos on my old iPad there. I was watching the other day.
Oh, really?
We were at, like, the city center downtown Bratislava up on this big balcony spraying champagne on our supporters. It was great.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, this isn't, like, just another, it's kind of like soccer over there, you know? They had a chant every time I was on the ice. Kevin Harvey, ole, ole, ole. Really enjoyed it.
And you know, do you get the, like, the chance to, like, when you're up there, you know, in Bratislava, pouring champagne in your mouth, like, do you, like, from the farm to here, do you get to, like, do you get to realize it, or is it just now where you're getting to look back on it?
No, now you look at it, like, you know, you ask me questions, I don't, you know, that life from the time I was 20 to 30 was just every day seemed like the same day, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
In the summer, you take 2 weeks off when you get home and just destroy yourself, and then you start going to work.
Yeah, definitely, man. I completely understand it. It's like people ask me about being on tour and stuff, you know, from being in the band. They're like, you know, what's the city's like? I'm like, well, I mean, I remember it more for how good the show was, because you really don't get to do much. I mean, you get dropped off at the venue and you're not really wandering too far.
Yeah.
So you're just, it's like, cities look like cities.
Yeah, and you get to meet so many great people, man. Like, I was sponsored by a guy in England, Paul. His name was, he owned a company called Studio Megastar, and the guy treated me like an absolute rock star. Like, he was such a good friend. Gave my partner at the time a job. You know, he took care of us, showed us England. It was great.
So the team puts you up with someone to, like, live with when you're over there?
No. I have my own apartment, but they have, like, a sponsorship. Like, each player gets sponsored by a company in Coventry.
Oh, okay.
So I was, this Paul guy was around my age. He was my sponsor, so I became friends with him, and it's great.
What was the most wild thing you ate while you're, and you know, being going around the world?
Oh, I don't know. I've ate cow's balls before, prairie oysters.
Oh, yeah.
In Calgary when I was out there for camp, yeah. I don't know. My stepdaughter's got me into sushi. I never ate sushi before. Being a farm boy, it was straight meat, potatoes, right?
Yeah. I didn't know if you had, like,
I drank that coffee in Indonesia.
What's that?
The one the animals shit out.
Oh, what the fuck, dude?
It it's like the most expensive coffee in the world. I went on a tour in Indonesia when I was over there.
I've heard about this, where they like feed the cows like fucking hazelnuts or something like that.
No, not the cows. They're like some little, they almost look like a possum. And they eat these berries and then they shit the,
what the fuck?
The coffee bean out. And they make coffee out of it.
Dude,
really,
you're
strong. It was like rocket fuel.
It's, that's the most, that's the crazy, like, literally the craziest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a delicacy, though. I think in England it's like, I think 40 pounds for a cup of that coffee.
Holy piss, dude.
If I'm not, I think, it, I don't know, don't quote me, but I think it's like really expensive.
Did you know what it was?
Like, yeah, that's, it was like one of the tours, the guy, we had a driver and he just took us across Indonesia. And there was like coffee farm, and it's like world renowned. So we went there.
So here's the possum shit coffee. Here you go, boys.
Yeah, I don't, they're not possums. I'd have to look it up, but I can't remember the name. But yeah, I have, you know, just, and they have like, you could make beans. The kids could cook the beans and stuff. It was cool.
I've heard of that, man. I have heard of that. You know, I think I'm getting it mixed up with, there's like a certain kind of cattle or something that they feed only like a certain nut to or something, and that meat's supposed to taste real good. But it's that, yeah, that same kind of thing.
Pistachios or something. Well, I've never heard that. We used to feed our cows potatoes because my uncle was a potato farmer.
Did they like them?
Yeah, they mellowed, but it made the meat really tender.
Ooh.
Like right before they went to the butcher, you feed them some potatoes for a while, and it would make the meat really tender.
Did you ever have a favorite cow?
No, I had a cat, but I don't like cats anymore. Cat ran away when I was younger, so I just stopped liking cats.
Dude, I'm the same way. My cat got hit by a car when I was little, and I was just like, man, fuck this. I'm not feeling like this ever again, so I don't really give a shit about cats either.
Yeah, I had a couple of great dogs growing up. A dog named Katie. Spike.
I had a dog named Moses.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we had farm dogs on there, outside dogs, right? See, we always had a farm truck. You start the farm truck, and the dogs would run down the road beside you.
Right, well, yeah, I always, you know, farm boys, you know, and girls, don't email me. They have a different relationship with animals. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's just a different thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, seen it from cows being dead in the field to, you know what I mean, having to put them down to save the bill,
yeah,
instead of having the vet come. That's just stuff you got to do as a farmer. You know, and can't afford to do it.
I was working on a dairy farm when I was younger, and we had to put a cow down, and so we had a 22 rifle, and I could not believe that it didn't kill it. Like when we shot it in the head, like it, like those things are so resilient. Like it freaked me out, man.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's not the greatest thing, man. I usually go in the house, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I think the farmer was like, hey, take, because I grew up in town, so I think he was like, hey, take the, you know, the town boy and make sure he see, like, you know, kind of like, welcome to the farm. And it was an experience, man. I've never forgot it, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. I know how you feel, but.
Well, it's good to know that, you know, that, you know, something has to die for you to eat it, man. That's just the way she goes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm nothing against people that are vegans. They have their own opinions, stuff like that. But I think that's what I want to eat, so eat it, you know?
Yeah, well, those guys are – those people are fucking idiots, dude, because, you know, lettuce – like, they – all those scientists hook shit up to it, and they say it, like, cries when they pull it out of the ground. So they're just – you know, they're picking one thing and not the other. They can kiss my ass.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I just, it's just your body, you do what you want, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, when I lived in Australia, they had the gay and homosexual vote, you know what I mean? Like, for them to, for gay marriage or not. I don't care.
Yeah, no, I don't get, yeah, do whatever you want, man.
You
want
to get married, yeah. I'm not going to let my life worry about it, you know what I mean?
No, I got.
If you get a yes, you know what I mean, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely, man.
My mentality with everything. Just do you, man.
Yeah, as long as you're not hurting somebody else or somebody else's property, man, I say go for it, man.
Same with politics, man. At the end of the day, they're going to take money off your check. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
No matter what you do.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, man.
Now, I am from Ohio. You played in Toledo, right? Wore the A here. How did you like Toledo, man? It's kind of a different place. You know, it's barely Ohio, really.
Yeah, I enjoyed Toledo. I mean, the apartments were shit, but we lived in an old, like, budget hotel. They turned into apartments. Like, you think of, like, a motel with the two floors.
Uh-huh.
Like you see in the movies.
And oh, that's all Toledo, dude. That's the whole town.
So, but no, I had fun in Toledo. Great arena.
Yeah, it really is.
Really nice barn. Watson, my assistant coach there, we had was a good guy, Watson. He played in Syracuse. I ended up getting traded. I think it's because I got in trouble one night there. I was at the bar, and some guy started mouthing off, and cops come over. Next thing you know, I got called into the office the next day. I got traded. So.
Yeah, because you went to Elmira from there, right?
Yeah, I think it was a message. They were looking for a D, and I had gotten shit, so I think it was a message sent, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. And that... Well, Toledo has really made, like, a success out of that organization, man, for the Coast.
Yeah, for sure. They were in the finals last year.
Yeah, yeah, they really have.
Yeah.
It's good for Ohio hockey, man.
Yeah, well, it's so close to Michigan, too, right? So.
Yeah, what's crazy is there was a battle, between Michigan and Ohio. I don't know what year it was, but Ohio won, so we got Toledo and they got the Upper Peninsula. So I don't know how that's a win for us, but that's what they were fighting for.
Yeah, it's good fishing in Ohio, man.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Bass fishing, man.
Oh, yeah. We got largemouth for days, dude.
Yeah, massive. I went to, I called a guy there not too long ago, two summers ago from, it was just outside Columbus. He had a bass farm there. I was trying to learn how to grow bass.
Oh, no shit. Did you ever get out on Erie and go walleye fishing?
Yeah, I've been out. Yeah, when I was younger, my buddy's dad used to have a boat there. He used to go walleye fishing all the time.
Yeah, they're pretty good out on Lake Erie, too.
I'm more of a pond fisherman.
I am, too, because I get sick out on the boat, man.
Yeah, I just like the fact that you can sneak in and get, like, 5-pounders, cheeky little 5-pounders in these backyard ponds, so...
Oh, yeah, definitely, man, definitely. Now, you know, you fought some heavyweights in your career. You know, you had a run-in with Jablonski there in England. Who do you think what you would say was the toughest, like, you know, not underrated guy where you're like, holy shit, you knew it, you studied the night, and it was just like that guy was tough?
That's a good one. Like punch you in the face contest?
Yeah, sure.
Like I had a couple, Brad Plumpton was tough. I went toe to toe with him in England there. He stood right in there. We were both leaking blood everywhere. You know what I mean? You're throwing 25 punches in a fight each, you know?
Yeah.
It's just boom, 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 like no defense, right?
Right.
Those are the ones that you look for.
Yeah, those are the ones that I think stand out, you know, that last forever where you're like just two dudes chucking them. It gets intense.
Yeah, in your head snap. Who else? Mitch Love, my first American League game. I fought him, and the replay is unbelievable on YouTube, but my head just snaps back like 3 times.
Oh.
But I hung in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Long, and he had good reach, so try to get in tight on those guys.
Now,
Trevor Gilley's was tough. He's from Cambridge.
Ooh, Trevor Gilley's real tough, man.
Yeah, I've known Gilles since I was younger. He used to come around with my AAA coach's son, so he used to come out to my practices when I was younger.
Did you fight him in the A?
Yeah, he was in Rochester when I fought him.
Dude, it's really amazing, man, what you've done with your career, and it's got to kind of feel nice now that you can just kind of play hockey and you don't have to stress out all night long about who you're fighting, and you just still get to play the game you love, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Dundas has been a massive relief coming down here and having to spend time with the boys and play hockey again. You know, it breaks up my week, and we actually got a pretty good team here. We had a chance to win the Allen Cup. So, like I said, I hadn't played in 2 years since I was in Australia. And I mean, I didn't know whether I wanted to come back and play, but since I've been back, it's great.
And the Allen Cup's older than the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah, it's the oldest cup in hockey here. So, we're hosting it, so it's going to be a good week of hockey here. I grew up close to Dundas. I went to high school here, so I'm fortunate to have an organization close to home like this to continue.
Yeah, I mean,
hockey now. So,
are you getting to score any goals? You putting the biscuit in? How you doing?
I think I got 3 goals here, a couple assists, 6 or 7 assists.
There you go, buddy.
I don't know. I haven't looked. I don't know.
Now, what time do you guys practice tonight?
9. The boys are on the ice right now, so.
Oh, shit. Well, dude, Kevin, I appreciate your time, man. You know, the listeners have been harking on me to get you on, and, you know, it's great to have you back here, you know, in North America, and I'm glad you're playing hockey, and I'm glad you're feeling okay, and, you know, the best of health to you, and I appreciate you, man. Just let the listeners know where they can find you on the internet and all that good shit.
Yeah, I'm just at the Darf on Instagram. I got nothing else, no Facebook anymore. I post pictures of my daughter, and, you know, that's about it. A little couple hockey pictures, got a couple farm pictures, but...
She's a cutie, by the way, too, man.
Yeah, she's my twin, eh?
Yeah, no shit, really.
Yeah, she's a truck, too.
She's your doppelganger for sure, man.
Yeah, she's a big girl, so she's a... she'll be 2 in February here, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, yeah.
That's absolutely awesome, man.
Yeah, just working and, you know, trying to stay busy. I think that's the number one goal in life is to stay busy.
Yeah. Definitely, man. You got to do what makes you happy, man. I think that's the main thing. And, you know, it's going to be cool, you know, getting to watch your daughter grow up, dude. I've got a 2-year-old myself that she's just starting to get fun too right now. You're about to rev up, dude.
Every day is a new day with her, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Well, best of luck, man. Let me know when you guys win that cup, dude.
Yeah, for sure. I'll send you a picture, for sure.
Hell yeah, man.
I hope we do, man. It'll be really cool. I appreciate your time, man. Sorry it took so long. I really enjoyed this.
Hell yeah, man. For Kevin Harvey, I'm William Bartram. This is The Biscuit.
How many fucks do I give? How many fucks do I give?